I mean, I don't know if you're not asking me, but
no, let's do it.
Okay,
we're doing it. We're doing it,
doing it right now.
This is it.
We're doing it right
is
now.
Is this so?
So then I told her.
What's, oh, I left early.
The punchline hasn't even happened.
Thing. So then I told her.
you tell her.
You told her.
Oh, I did. I did. Believe me. Hello and welcome to James,
I didn't get the
James
notes.
Wins the challenge this week.
Yeah, the challenge of that I am now setting. How long can you hold a note?
Welcome to From Under a Rock, the podcast where we take movies that one or more of us have not seen that we should have by now, bringing them out from under the proverbial rock. I'm getting better at that.
Boom.
Getting better at that. I'm Ryan.
I'm James.
I'm Steven Steuben, the Burbs McDonald. Can you run through the whole
McBurban?
You had an entire title
like
for
one.
Me.
That sounds like
see. Okay, so in my mind, it's you know, you have nicknames and quotes, like kind of like your middle name. Mm-hmm. So it's like Steven, and then in quotes Steuben Suburban, but in quotes in the middle of that is the Burbs. So it's Steven Steuben, the Burbs,
Suburban Zarita. Yeah. Okay,
that's just how it's played out in my mind this whole time.
Nice.
And I am now Michael McBurban Ornelas.
Oh.
No, you can't institute your own nickname.
You're going to take that, Steven?
He can have McBurban.
He just joined your nickname.
It's an alcoholic drink at a McDonald's.
You can have that. You can have that. That's great.
The all new
part of the
McBurban.
McCafe.
Love it. So, yeah, guys. How have you been, James?
Oh, you were
a little
I had a 1,000-yard stare because I've had some horrible things happen to me this week.
You were a little late getting here. Did you have to bury a body on your way here? Did that have something to do with it?
I actually did. Yeah, it was a little bit of a. This doesn't count as like a confession, right?
Oh
like
no,
the cops
no,
can't,
no, no,
okay,
no.
Cool.
Anything said in a comedic setting cannot be used against you in court.
That's
of law.
That's what I was assuming the law was. I'm glad that's
comedians talk about doing drugs all the time and nothing ever happens.
That's
to
true.
That,
that's so. True. So yeah, I killed the guy on the way here. Amazingly, right? Right?
Laugh, guys.
Yeah, not, in all seriousness, I was just basically this last week I've been working on making the second episode of my YouTube channel. Aside from that, I signed up for Central Casting, so I'm going to be doing
what's the name of the YouTube channel again?
Jameson's Gamesons.
That's right. I saw your first episode, the review of Dark Souls
2. What'd you think?
I enjoyed it greatly.
Yeah. Energetic.
You had a great style to it.
I have to ask, is your actual real name Jameson?
It's like a family name.
Actually, his real name is Gamesons.
Yeah.
And they shortened that to James.
So this next week is actually going to be me doing a quick review of We're Back, both the animated feature movie as well as the subpar Super Nintendo game.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to
that. I just
that.
Actually got picture lock, which is why I was rushing over here.
Picture lock.
Yeah.
Sounds so much fancier.
So much fancy.
So much fancy, much amaze.
All right.
Do you have a gameplay ripping setup, or do you
right
pull,
now
pull
I'm
trailers?
Using like acquired footage, meaning I'm stealing it. But I'm
comedic podcast.
Comedic podcast.
You're joking, guys.
No, James.
But as soon as my tax return check comes in, okay. I'm going to buy a capture device.
Yeah. Elgato is what I'd recommend.
That's what I was actually looking at because a buddy of mine has a Let's Play he's trying to start up, and he says the Elgato is pretty good, pretty nifty.
You know, I don't know if I've been wanting to get into the Twitch streaming thing for a little while now.
Yeah, you should.
And does the Elgato do that too? Or does it
I believe you can capture from... I think it has ports for like HDMI, even S video.
Right.
I think AV.
Does it really?
I just know AverMedia has like a really cute little box that, you know, does the whole stream setup all in one.
Well, if all you're planning on doing is streaming, then I mean that might not be a bad idea. But I'm pretty sure that it would set you up for, you know, if you can find something that works that's cheaper and you don't need to capture footage, then
be really cool.
Yeah, but I'm not sure exactly what the stream setup is quite like yet.
I might want to play around with your box a little bit.
Yeah.
You going to take him out to dinner first there?
That's exactly what I was thinking, actually. You get a point.
Can we...
Even though I made the joke?
No, okay. You get a point. You get my number.
Oh, Ryan's the real winner.
I get all
there.
The points.
And we've actually withheld James's number from Ryan for this entire run.
The rest of us have all
If you hear my number on this podcast, it's because it's a comedic podcast.
It's been really... It's been really hard coordinating the podcast whenever I'm just completely left out of the loop the entire time.
Steven, can you tell James about the, I don't have his number, can you text him for me?
Well, James still operates via carrier pigeon only with Ryan.
Yeah, and pager. So,
Carrier pager.
Michael, you were not with us last week, to put it delicately.
Yeah, I died. I experienced the other side.
Hasn't this happened
before? How was it? Well, yeah, I did it a couple weeks back.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And why are you?
And Michael just kind of ripped off my idea.
Why are you even asking me? You know what it's like.
Because you might have gone the other way. I don't know.
Or what if it's like a representation of your mind?
I feel like all ghosts are unaware of each other for the most part because they're all on separate. Different
They're
planes
like planes.
Of existence.
Yeah.
So if a ghost
plane
saw...
drifting, they were plane drifting.
Oh, whoa!
No, but in this context,
no,
it's all right.
James, they don't drift. Okay, they
oh,
stick
okay.
to
they
one
stick
plane.
To, okay.
No. In this context, that's actually okay.
Oh, really?
Because they're super white.
Were you plane D-ing? Were you plane D-ing?
I don't understand what you're
plane D-ing.
Were you PD-ing, Michael?
I have no idea what you're trying to
just
say.
Just tell me. Just tell me if you were.
Yes, I was, and it felt amazing.
It's against the rules, isn't it? I mean, I'm not sure.
It's at least ethically irresponsible. Yeah. At the very least.
Yeah.
So, for real, how have you been?
I've been all right. The last few weeks are a blur of work and nothingness. That's pretty much my life at this point.
That's
depressing. Just a lot of being at a place I hate. And forgetting what I do in my personal life to offset that because I'm just so focused on the negative.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah. No, but I'm happy.
No, a lot
I'm
of happy. Fun. A lot of fun.
It's not a cry for help.
We'd be horrible friends.
Steuben McBurban.
Oh, wow. You shortened it. My last week has been awesome because for the first time in like a month, I finally have two hands again. I got the cast off. I can lift things. I can grab things and manipulate objects.
Was that that Tom Hanks movie, Cast Off?
Cast Off, yeah.
Where he breaks his hand and
he's for like 3 weeks.
Makes friends with a volleyball and
he's like, once this cast comes off, I'm gonna spike you. And then the cast off, it's cast off, and he hits the volleyball away and he never sees it again.
You might not want to spoil it.
Well,
because I don't. James and Michael are
no,
me
I haven't. I haven't, seen,
not, I haven't
they're,
seen Cast Off.
They're from
seen,
under.
They
they're under
cast
the rock.
Off, so there. we might pull that one up later.
No, it's been so refreshing and amazing to have two hands again. And besides that, I went back to Texas for Easter. Spent some time in Austin and with my family in San Antonio. Had a good time.
Good time.
Very
good
cool.
time. Ryan.
Shortly after recording last week's podcast, I foolishly jumped back onto ranked in Street Fighter and lost all my points. So I'm back down.
That's nice.
I'm back in the gutter. I didn't even get to, I was editing last week's podcast and I got to that part where I said I had achieved the milestone. I was like, so embarrassing
Greed
that
got
I lost
the best
already.
Of.
It did. I was like, oh man, I'm good enough. I can jump back in and win some more.
Yeah, no, I've heard you playing after we recorded that podcast, and I'm like, didn't he say he was gonna stop after that?
Yeah, well, like James said, the greed was too much. Greed was bad in this case.
'Twas greed killed the beast. That's the line, right?
Your hands look awfully burnt from playing with fire.
It was planes.
'Twas planes killed the beast. 'Twas plane drifters that killed the
beast.
Whoa!
Come on.
Sorry, that's twice now. It's like a heritage thing. My
dad
was very. Let's move on. Let's move on.
I would call him ignorant more.
He
than
was
anything.
Ignorant. He was very.
I'm sure he has a good heart.
It was more of an upbringing thing.
Yeah, you know, the characters of Goodfellas might use a lot of slurs, but they would never stoop to using the PD word.
James. I don't know what this PD stands for.
I just said it. I literally just said
I'm not making the connection.
Okay.
personal deference.
Deposition.
Personal deposition. Whoa, man. Whoa.
Is everything I'm saying just offensive to
Whoa.
You?
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, wait, but it's comedy, so.
Yeah. See, nothing counts.
I murdered a couple people. Laugh, guys. Please.
No, it was just the one. It was just the one.
No, I'm talking about me.
Oh, okay.
I need your support. Laugh.
Nobody laugh.
Shit.
So, Goodfellas.
James, you brought Goodfellas.
I did.
To the table, to the rock, to the wall.
Did the sweat drop down my balls?
But yes, I'm rather pleased that you did. Oh,
that was
wow.
An awful throw.
I'm pleased that you did so because Steuben and McBurban had not seen it before. Which they definitely should
Damn
have.
Damn it, he can't be McBurban because I'm the Mick something.
All right, how about I'll be Mike Bourbon?
Okay.
I like that.
That's kind of
Mike Bourbon.
It's kind of just an awesome name.
Yeah. It's like, can I make a screenplay with an action hero that's just Mike Bourbon?
Mike Bourbon. Nice to meet ya.
Except he doesn't sound anything like that.
He sounds exactly like that.
Yeah.
So, James, I'm guessing that you have some fondness for this film.
J'adore Goodfellas.
Oh, oui, oui.
Yes, I actually do love this movie.
Bésame mucho.
This movie is one of my top five movies, I would say, just because of how, like, and I'm not normally that big of a gangster film sort of guy, but everything about this film for me is just awesome, for lack of a better term. And I feel like it's, in my opinion, it's Scorsese's best, but I don't really have any right to say that, so I'm just going to say it anyway.
I think a lot of people would agree with you. Yeah.
I will say it is the best Scorsese film I have seen, also the only Scorsese film
really?
I have seen.
All right, so we're going to have a like a
Scorsese-themed month or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, we're just going to have a Scorsese month.
Scorsese. Sounds like a disease.
Scorsese-Maisie! Holy shit.
If you guys want to come to my place, we can watch Hugo 3D.
I have... confession, I would not be super psyched about Scorsese-Maisie.
Why? As a name or the month?
Both. To be honest, I am not the hugest fan of Scorsese.
Oh, yeah?
I must say, yes.
Why is
I've seen a decent number of his movies. I've seen this one, Taxi Driver, The Departed.
I have seen Taxi Driver. Amazing. My bad.
Shutter Island.
Shutter Island's pretty good. It's not his best.
A lot of it has to do with, like you said, I'm not the biggest fan of crime dramas or mob movies in general. I really don't even have too much love for The Godfather. I definitely have respect for it, and I like it, but it's really not one of my favorites. And this movie, to me, is just kind of a Godfather light, if that makes any sense.
I think of it as it's the same genre as Godfather, but I just think it takes a different direction.
It felt like a different entity to me.
Yeah.
It's definitely less self-serious than The Godfather is. More comedic. More, I don't know, it's just lighter.
Right.
Especially with the soundtracks. A lot of the soundtrack is kind of poppy.
The soundtrack I actually really did enjoy. It's kind of typical Scorsese where it's a lot of poppy and classic rock and that kind of stuff.
He
always picks a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, what boggles my mind is just the sheer amount of licensed songs.
Yeah, absolutely. He always does that, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of how much money goes into just songs.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just being able to use them. It's insane.
Well, I do love a lot of the songs on the soundtrack. The Crystals song sticks out in my mind. And Then He Kissed Me, which plays over the famous Copacabana scene.
Yeah, the tracking shot through the kitchen. You know what's funny about that scene, actually? They weren't originally going to do that.
I think you might have mentioned this on the podcast.
Oh, did
before.
I mention that?
Yeah,
never mind.
Like, wouldn't go through
funny
the front
how?
Door.
How
like,
am I funny?
Like, does it
how
amuse you? Like a clown?
All right, Michael, you're going to get a point for that.
Nice. Nice. That's like a well-earned point right there.
Can I amuse you?
But yeah, I just... He does use a lot of great songs, but sometimes I feel like... Oh, and I also saw The Wolf of Wall Street recently, especially in that movie, to this one. and this one to some extent as well, the songs might take away from the scenes a little bit, might be a little distracting.
It takes you out.
Yeah, a little bit. It's playing over some parts that don't necessarily need a pop song playing over them, I would
say.
Yeah, I was,
when I think of getting a licensed song, you know, for a movie, you kind of hold it for a special moment in the movie. And there was a lot of, you know, as far as this movie's art goes, normal scenes going on. And then, you know, you hear these really recognizable 50s, 60s, 70s songs going on in the background. And I go, oh, hey, that's the classic blah, blah, blah. I don't know the names. But, you know, I see what you're saying, because nothing too, too special was happening. And I start to focus more on when the last time I heard this song was. Yeah.
Hmm. Like I said, though, the exception is the Copacabana tracking shot, where that song I just think is fantastic and it fits so well in that scene.
Although I think there's a more appropriate song for the Copacabana.
What's that?
What? Yeah.
Copacabana.
Yeah.
I don't know. Never heard of it. Never heard of it.
Another one of my favorite tracking shots is the one where he's going through and introducing all of these characters and that you really don't see.
Tipping their glasses. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's such a really awesome, like, as you're not sure if at first it feels like you're looking at these people first person perspective, and you start like phasing through like surfaces and stuff. It's really kind of phantasmic.
It's a little fourth wall breaking, but it does it in a little bit of a subtle way.
Yeah.
Now, to shift it a little, but in terms of the first person perspectives, I'm normally not a big fan of voiceover in things in general.
Mm.
And I thought it actually really helped this movie along. I liked it. Yeah, I thought it fit.
It's weird. I agree and I disagree. At first, I was on board with it. I was like, okay, you know, this is like an autobiographical. He's just going to walk us through the story of his life. You know, this is how he started being a gangster, and he's going to take us to where it ends up with him, where it leaves him. And then, I forget the woman's name, his future wife, he meets her, and then all of a sudden she starts narrating it. And I was like, okay, it's maybe 20 minutes or so into the movie, and now we have this other narrator, which I found odd. And it stuck with him more, but anytime she would start to narrate, it would kind of take me out, because I was so invested in him, I started to think, well, whose story is it? Because typically whoever's narrating it is your protagonist. So every time it would switch to her, I'd kind of wonder, is this a dual protagonist? Are they just, since they're married, are we supposed to root for them both as one unified protagonist? Do they have differing goals? It threw me off a little bit. And you were talking about the tracking shot, and this kind of ties together with that. It's a great tracking shot where he's introducing all the gangsters in the bar. And I actually even think they showed that to us in film school, just to demonstrate cinematography. Like, look at how it leads your eye throughout the frame, how the motion leads from person A to person B to person C in the background. But then looking back, it kind of, it's this weird thing where sometimes you're in this first person, you're like seeing through his eyes, hearing his thoughts, and then it cuts to third person. So I saw some inconsistencies there with the switching the narrator and going into extreme first person, then back to your traditional, which it just threw me out in the long run here and there.
Well, I kind of liked it because it kept you guessing as to like what exactly they were trying to get across. Because I think that Karen, it's also her story, just because of how much Ray Liotta like influences her character's life. And just the way that they did it, you know, I really enjoyed it. It's not something that really took me out of the experience or confused me, but it was something I was like, huh, well, that's interesting that they did that.
I believe the first moment they switched to using her as a narrator was when he handed her the gun after beating the crap out of the guy with it.
No. It was earlier, the first time.
It was when they first met. Yeah. Well,
oh, okay.
She's saying something like, oh, he didn't talk. He just kept fidgeting like he needed to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the very first time they meet at that diner. Not diner, dinner. Much nicer than a diner.
The dinner at the diner.
The dinner at the diner.
With the Donner Party.
Woo-hoo. I always got that mess. Like, dinner, diner, and dessert, and desert. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I never got the differences, like spelling.
Okay. I'm going to blow your mind right here.
All
right. You always want an extra S with your dessert, but only one S can grow in the desert because it's so dry.
I wouldn't exactly say any minds were blown.
What's it?
You really like hyped that up.
You can't speak for everybody.
Like a plant S?
An S is a very delicate plant that you would like to eat because it's delicious.
Okay, what about dinner and diner?
Wait, do you is there a rule for that?
You want seconds with dinner.
You eat plants for dessert?
Wait.
Like a banana, like a banana pie, maybe. I mean, it's a crucial ingredient. I just looked over your shoulder and saw some bananas.
I don't grow bananas in the desert, Stephen.
Well,
I don't think...
of course you wouldn't, because only one can grow in the desert.
I do grow banana in the desert.
Not a bushel, just one.
So, Stephen, you had been taken out from under the rock here, correct?
Sorry, before we move on, I just wanted to say something else about the narration.
Maybe. Oh, sure, sure.
Because it really is interesting. We have what some people would argue is a subjective narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because
it's his story, yeah.
Yes, whereas, you know, a lot of times a narrator will be this detached entity that tells everything from an objective point of view.
I can just imagine that for this movie. Like, he always wanted to be a gangster, and that's what he became.
The end.
Yeah.
But in this case, we have... Henry telling the story of his life, and maybe skimming some of the finer points, you know. For instance, I don't believe we ever see him kill anybody throughout the course of the movie. At one point he says it was the first time Robert De Niro's character, what was it? I forgot his name.
Jimmy.
Yeah, it was the first time Jimmy had asked me to do a hit or something like that, and it wasn't even a real hit. He was just...
setting
him
up,
out to be
yeah.
killed. And even though he does do a lot of bad stuff over the course of the story, he always makes it out to be
he's the
good guy, and he's doing it for his wife, and he never actually wanted to hurt anybody. Yeah. Whenever anybody gets shot,
he's the first one to help him out
every time. It's kind of interesting. We don't actually know whether or not, you know, that could be completely true.
Yeah.
On the other hand, he could very well be lying just to make him, to paint himself in a better light.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry to digress, but Michael just laid a literal haunch of meat on the table.
Pretty much an entire turkey.
It's an entire turkey breast.
Why?
Protein, bro.
Dude.
That's
Michael,
a lot of protein.
Michael, I'm proud of you. Good job.
Thanks, man.
That could feed a family of four.
If I could give you a point, I would, but I can't.
I'd just like to point out how much
I'm gonna give Ryan 2 points for your assertions there, real
Thank
quick.
You.
Hey James, how about when I blew your mind with desert and dessert?
I'm gonna give you half a point.
Okay.
Because
I'll take
my mind was only kind of half blown.
Hey, the first half point.
And as we all know, being half blown is just not great.
And what about
the blue points?
Yeah.
And what about my point for eating a meat piece the size of how you would assume it would be in like a Game Boy game?
I just said that could feed a family of four. You're not winning any points here.
So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to get that in. That last
no, that's
point
totally fine. I just wanted to know what the overall feelings that,
from watching it for the first
that
time,
you and Michael,
I enjoyed it. I, like Ryan, I'm not too big a fan of Martin Scorsese films. I guess I haven't given them much of a chance, to be fair. I think I might be with Michael here. Maybe this might be the only Scorsese. I want to say I've seen one other one. I have to look at his whole list. But
have
it
you
might
seen
be
The Departed? That is a
fantastic movie. I have seen
movie.
Taxi Driver after Ryan listed it. I realized that.
So maybe I've seen the least amount of Scorsese films. I probably have. But I enjoyed it. I might watch some more. Everyone said to go check out Wolf of Wall Street, which is a given. I'll check it out at some point. But
I don't know if you like it. It's super gratuitous.
Eh.
Okay.
So many penises. I haven't seen
just
it,
the
but
one.
I've heard.
Eh.
Really? Just one?
Yeah. Just
Jonah Hill's.
Not many penises.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of boobs.
A lot of boobs.
If there was a penis I wanted to see,
lot of
it wouldn't be
Jonah
Hill.
Perfect boobs.
Oh,
and that's not something you can normally say. You
again, got
perfect.
A...
Perfect.
His wife.
Oh, God.
Did you know she's like our age?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
I guess when you're... No, he was talking about boobs. That's a bad joke.
Who was?
I don't know. I got to see more Martin Scorsese movies.
Good point,
because this one actually, it was good. I was on for the ride. It held my attention very well. I just keep looking at this gigantic turkey to my left.
That's a very rude thing to call me.
I feel like we should start. I feel like we should give it its own mic. It's such a big piece of meat.
I think the turkey has had the most opinions.
You know what, Mike? I'm giving it so far. Mike Bourbon.
Da 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 da.
Putting on the figurative sunglasses there.
Yeah.
I like the way this movie spawns what 15, 25 years of Henry's life. Something like that.
13. Yeah. 60. Well, no.
It starts in 55 and it ends in like 70, but then it like flash. Okay, so 25-ish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 25. It was just really cool seeing his life change because you're looking at it and I started thinking of like family photos of like, okay, yeah, okay, I remember when people lived like this in the 70s and then they moved over to this place and they had this apartment and he moves around and I know it's small, but it just had a good charm and like his family life felt very lived in and I guess I just kind of believe that this guy's been doing this for however many years at each point in the movie. And he really progresses into the gangster look more and more and more. He starts off as this fresh-faced kid in like all white, and then by the end of it, he's not wearing white and not a fresh-faced kid, as they teach in film school. Yes.
He actually kind of looks like crap at the end.
No, he does. And it's kind of funny because he runs to pick up his brother from the hospital and the doctor notices looks horrible. He goes, no. Let me. And I thought he was going to give him a drug test and see all the cocaine in his system.
That is another great sequence, actually. That whole last day is one of those things that just like the first time I watched that, I think I actually was like perspiring
because
you
get to
see how frantic it was.
So, I want to address this because I watched this mere hours ago. First time I've ever seen it. Coming off a long work day, I was tired. I was starting to drift off at various points. And then as soon as we got to like the happenings of the last day, specifically with like the helicopter tailing him and stuff, I just involuntarily sat up in my seat and like leaned forward and realized I was like, okay, I guess I'm super engaged by this movie now.
Oh, it only took until the third act?
Judging last 20 minutes.
Well, you kind of bring up a good point that I was going to touch on. The movie almost seems like it could have skipped a lot in the first act or two because the last bust has to do with all the cocaine that he's smuggling or producing or both? I think both. Like he's got his mistress.
He's not producing.
Like
he's just a salesman. Basically.
That's it. So all the cocaine that he's selling, but he doesn't start selling the cocaine till a couple scenes earlier in the movie, until after or during his trip to jail.
Yeah, and the boss doesn't even want him to do it.
Exactly, which is so far into the movie, it could have been like, well, you could almost make that the movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, true, but it was also the autobiographical sort of thing.
Yeah, that's where it can kind of get away with it. It's like you have to know his whole life from when he started being a gangster, and so, life doesn't follow typical three-act structure.
So I guess you could say it's more of a character piece than like that's the traditional narrative.
That's the exact point I was going to make because I was like, it wasn't until the Lufthansa theft in Act Two where I was like, I guess this is the first time I feel like there's kind of a real plot point.
Yeah, everything else has been like, look at these people. Look at all these people I know. Yeah. I'm meeting my wife.
That's Wolf of Wall Street is basically just that for 3 hours. It's kind of it's a 3 hour lack of plot basically.
Look at all these people. You see,
it's just a string of doing drugs and having sex with women and all the time and just one after the other.
Is this a documentary about my life?
It's a documentary of sorts about what's his name? Robert Jordan or something.
I don't know. Some guy, some wolf.
Jordan Belfort.
Jordan Belfort, there it is.
Actually, when that tracking shot where he introduces all the gangsters in the bar, I was kind of like, oh, am I going to have to remember all these names?
My favorite guy in that whole, whole movie.
I know who you're going to say.
Is Tommy Two Times or Timmy Two Times.
I'm going to get the door.
Like, no, he's like, I'm going to go get the papers. Get the papers. Get the papers. I was like, that guy needs to have his own spinoff.
But yeah, that's like you were saying, am I going to have to remember all these names? Well, no, not really, because as much as that's kind of a fun scene, it doesn't really
matter. Come back.
It doesn't
later,
really matter.
You know? Yeah.
It doesn't contribute to the plot so much because, like Michael said, there's not much of a plot at all. It's just a character piece, and he takes a decent amount of time to introduce all these characters who don't really have much of an impact on his life. It's mostly just
Jimmy and Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also wanted to say about the narration at the last scene, where it's kind of this contrast between, he is paranoid that the cops are after him, and he's also trying to get this drug deal to go down, and he seems the most worried about the dinner that he's making, though.
Yeah.
And to me, while that is, it is a pretty funny scene. It's just kind of the more to the point that the movie can't seem to decide whether it wants to be serious or not sometimes.
Yeah. I guess at the end it should really know. Yeah, if that's like the big climax.
But I feel like that's one of the things I kind of like about this movie too, especially after multiple viewings, is that at times it's super gritty and real, and then at other times it's kind of off kilter and just odd, and sort of quirky even. But I feel like that's one of the things that makes it so characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you. You're the wordsmith this week. Yes. Steven, you get another point.
I think it helps. I mean, I see where you're coming from, because there's some points in the movie where that does detract from it, but most of the time when it would kind of skim the border of serious and a little lighthearted with things like the dinner, it was enough to kind of give the scene, I don't know, kind of a breath of fresh air, kind of, you know. If it was so serious the whole time, it wouldn't have held my attention. Honestly, when that was happening, I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder how delicious this dinner would be. And I'm legitimately sad that he's not going to get to eat it, because he's going all out.
I was actually invested in how the dinner would turn out. That was just like him. I was, I sensed that he was the most worried about the dinner, and I, became the most invested in whether that dinner, in the sauce.
Yeah.
I'm assuming we've got to wrap this up in a sec or two.
We still got time.
Okay, because I wanted to... Oh, yes, Michael.
Well, I have other things to say, but...
Okay, I wanted to ask, since we've kind of established that it is more of a character piece, what do you guys think about Henry Hill as a protagonist? Because he's not a good guy, but then...
But he is a good fella.
I don't know.
Neither is James Gandolfini.
I don't get a point for that. Ridiculous.
fine. You get another point. Because you also referenced the book that it was named after. Mm-hmm. He's not a nice guy. Neither is James Gandolfini in The Sopranos, but we still kind of root for him. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Like an anti-hero almost.
I actually didn't root for him. I mean, at the end, I think I might be with you, Ren. I wanted him to get to the dinner, but just because I'm such a goody good, I'm like, nope, this is what he gets for joining the mob at the age of 18. It's bound to happen.
It's like 16.
16, something like that.
I root for him, and this isn't necessarily a steadfast reason that I have in like other things where I root for the anti-hero, but in this, just the simple fact that he was introduced as a kid or a young guy, like I he glamorized being a gangster in such a hopeful way that I was like, oh, I hope this kid gets everything he wants out of this. Like, I don't know, it was weird. I was rooting for him because they introduced him young, and like you said, whenever somebody gets shot, he was always tending to them. And so there were glimpses of, like, I think at heart he's doing this tough guy occupation, but he's a good person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just wanted to see everything unfold. Like, I wanted to see him fall down, essentially. You know? Mm-hmm. I saw his arc as being, okay, he gets super established and then something bad happens, and it did. He gets caught with the drug bust. So I guess I wasn't rooting for him. I was actually waiting for him to fail.
I think in the grander sense, the idea of an anti-hero kind of imbibes a sense of Stockholm syndrome on the audience a little bit.
That's a good way to look at
it. One of the greatest recent examples is Walter White in Breaking Bad. Just, he's our main character, and we are forced to follow him through his entire story. And because of that, the camera biases us towards that particular character, even though he's pretty much as bad as it gets.
Yeah, because you see the reasoning start to finish. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not what I would have done, but I can see why he's doing it.
Sure. Yeah, that too. Yeah.
You all get points for that.
Good anti-heroes do find ways for you to sympathize with them. So.
Now, you mentioned The Sopranos. I don't know if you realize there were a couple crossover actors that were in both this and The Sopranos. Spider, guy who got shot by Joe Pesci, one of the main characters in The Sopranos. Now, I'm only in season 2 of that show. I don't know how long he lasts or how important he is.
Yeah, I haven't watched all of it either.
But he's a big part of at least the first season and a half that I've seen.
Karen's in it as a psychiatrist.
And Karen is a psychiatrist. Yeah, that was the other one I was going to say. And it's funny because I was watching this the whole time and I was like, where do I recognize her from? And then like I looked her up on Wikipedia and I just like held up my hand like glasses and I was like, there it is, because in Sopranos she has glasses on for some reason.
Oh, you put the glasses over your hand over her picture.
I was just like, there she is.
There you are, Peter.
Hook references.
Oh my god, we need to watch that.
No, it's gonna happen.
Alrighty. Anything else?
Nope. No, I mean, I do, but I think we gotta wrap.
What else
up.
Is there but ratings?
I have one more thing that I loved about
make
the
it
movie.
Snappy.
Never mind.
This ain't a goddamn charity. I don't even know what that means.
I loved just like the way they revealed the killing off of like all those people that were involved in the robbery.
Oh, with Layla playing in the background. Uh-huh. That was great.
Yeah, that's all.
There are a bunch of really great sequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Ratings?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's rate it. Who should start?
Steven
or Michael? I'll start.
Jinx. Ooh, jinx. Hold on. No.
Steven got the jinx.
I'm calling a...
Don't say rock, paper, scissors. I can use my right now.
Steven got the jinx.
All right, he got the jinx.
All right. I had those problems with the narration, the lightheartedness that Ryan was mentioning at times. But I enjoyed the movie and it did a lot of really cool things, especially with the cinematography, even if the scenes didn't contribute too much. I'm going to give it a B+.
This was one of my favorite picks that any of you guys have brought to the table, because obviously I like my own picks.
You're not getting any points because of that.
I'm not going for points for that. No, but it was of the movies that you guys have introduced me to that I hadn't seen before, this is probably my favorite one.
Ooh.
And the previous favorite was Casablanca, which also you brought. So good track
record. Still not getting any points, but thank you.
Anyway, so my rating is give me points, A+.
Wow. I did enjoy this movie better than the first time I saw it, which was I was forced to for a class, and it just seemed so much longer when I watched it that time. And didn't hold my attention as well. I still think it was pretty long, almost 2.5 hours, I think. Which it did do a better job of holding my attention this time, just because I was I knew what to look for in terms of all of these subtleties and the characters and progression and all that. I am going to echo Steven's B+.
Okay, comes down to me. Mm-hmm. I am biased because I absolutely adore this movie, but let's see. I love having to go through the entire life of Henry Hills and to see all of these occurrences and to just see how raw a lot of the impacts are and how they portray them in the film. With that, realism comes contrast when you have these narrative scenes these tracking scenes that kind of take you almost onto a different plane, if you will, of narrative storytelling.
How are you moving between planes?
I'm phasing.
Okay,
is that good? Okay.
PP.
Yeah. So I think that there's something just very unique about how everything is shot, everything is acted, how everything's portrayed, and it's my favorite Scorsese movie. So I'm going to have to give it a solid A.
Just question.
Bringing,
real question. How is it one of you, does that mean you don't even have five full movies that you would give an A plus to?
Hmm?
You said it's one of your five top movies.
Yeah, but I think that every movie has flaws. The only movie I think I've ever given like a full A plus to is Casablanca.
I think you guys all gave A pluses to Shawshank.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it deserved it.
But just because it has that rating doesn't necessarily mean it's one of my favorites too.
Okay. I also don't think that...
So it doesn't have to be arbitrary.
Just because it's in your top five doesn't mean it's the best movie or anything.
Yeah, I mean, Mamma Mia is in my top five, and that's a C-minus at best.
Yeah.
Is it really?
No. I mean, it is probably a C-minus, but...
Yeah, I mean, we all have guilty pleasures not even. That we love.
Nope, all my pleasures are objectively good. Or
like Kung Pao.
Like professional wrestling.
A double plus is all around. All right, okay. What's our average, Michael?
A minus.
All right.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Okay.
Congratulations, good fellas. You have
your us highest or honor, I'm sure.
Thanks, guys.
You have finally been recognized for the the good movie that you are.
Took you 24 years.
Okay, so I believe that sends us to the challenge, correct?
The
challenge.
Challenge. Having sex. Wait. So just want to let everybody know what your score is right now. Ryan, you are leading with 4. Steven follows at 3.5. Michael, you have 2.
Oh, man. We're neck and neck.
I'm negative half 2 point. Because I made a reference to something I had already said on this podcast.
Oh.
James, let me give you 2 points.
Oh, thanks, man. So I'm breaking even. Okay, so the challenge this week, you guys have a favorite like monologue or a go-to line or so that you enjoy saying every now and again, right? Steven, I'm sure it's probably something Star Wars
related.
Yeah,
it's already running okay. in my head.
Like from a movie or
From another movie. Aside from Goodfellas, I'm assuming you probably wouldn't have anything prepared because this is your first time watching it.
Uh-huh.
If you don't, I have a prepared list of funny lines.
Oh, okay.
But I'm giving you the opportunity of coming up with your own favorite monologue. Now, I want you to perform that monologue in your best Joe Pesci or Robert De Niro voice.
Oh, man. This just got a lot harder.
So let me just be clear. I'm grading you on the choice of the monologue if you have one. If not, like I said, I have a prepared list. The delivery and the commitment to character.
Question.
Yes.
Can we look at the actual words from said monologue?
Can we look it up?
I'll allow it. Yeah. I'll allow it.
Get extra points for going off the top of my head?
Yeah, actually you will. You'll get a bonus point.
Okay. I'll go first. I beat you on
Jinx.
No, we didn't say it at the same time. Yeah, I will high five you. Yeah, high five.
All right, that was adorable. Steven, go for it.
I'm gonna just need a little bit of audience participation. When I point to you, you're gonna say, "How did my father die?" And then when I point to you again, you're gonna say, "The Force."
Okay.
Now, can I take a guess what this is from?
Yes.
We have already established this.
I'm out of ideas. I can't think of anything.
Okay. So let me just, my lines are,
"How did my father die?" And then the next one is, "The Force."
And my motivation?
"You want to know things."
We got a Scorsese over here.
Hey, you want to know things.
Okay. Right. "How did my father die?"
Your pops, he was seduced by the dark side of the Force. He was the best starfighter in the galaxy back in the Clone Wars. I was a general in the Clone Wars before the dark times, before the Empire.
The Force
is an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us, it penetrates us. It binds the whole galaxy together.
Nice. Okay, let me divvy up some points here for you, Steven. You got an extra point for being first, or rather going off of script. So I'm going to give you that extra point. That brings you up to a 4.5. I will give you another point for delivery. Because I kind of felt the accent fluctuating. However, mm-hmm. you did stay committed, so I will give you another 2 points, bringing you up to 7.5. And then finally, choice of material. I'm not going to give you any points because I knew before we even started what you were going to choose.
I'm so predictable.
So, question.
Yes.
My scene is more dialogue than monologue, but it is very heavily... One guy is pretty much the scene.
Okay.
And I'm just going to interject with the other guy, normal voice.
That's fine.
Cool. Look at me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Sorry about that. What you having? Hamburgers. Hamburgers! The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast. What kind of hamburgers? Cheeseburgers? No, where'd you get them? McDonald's? Wendy's? Jack in the Box? Where? Big Kahuna Burgers? Big Kahuna Burgers! That's the Hawaiian burger joint. I hear they've got some tasty burgers. I ain't never had one myself. How are they? Good. You mind if I try one of yours? This is yours right here, right?
Yeah.
Mmm. That is a tasty burger. Vincent, you happen to have a Big Kahuna burger? Want a bite? They're real tasty. Ain't hungry. Well, if you like burgers, give them a try sometime. Me... I can't get enough of them because my girlfriend's vegetarian, which pretty much makes me vegetarian. I'm going to skip ahead to the good part. What country you from? What? What ain't no country I ever heard from? They speak English in what? What? English, motherfucker! Do you speak it? Yes. Then you know what I'm saying. Yes. Describe Marcellus Wallace looks like. What? Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time. He's black. Go on. He's bald. Does he look like a bitch? What? Does he look like a bitch? No. Then why are you trying to fuck him like a bitch?
Nice.
End scene.
Okay, let's see. Gonna divvy up some points again. Michael, you're starting off at 2. I will give you... another 2 for choice of material. However, I could have given you more, but I didn't because that also involves gangsters.
Can I point out that my selection was strictly because Samuel L. Jackson was also in Goodfellas?
He was. Ooh. He was Stacks.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Okay, so I'm going to give you 2 points for delivery, bringing you up to 6, because... While, yes, you did kind of have a high-pitched Joe Pesci sort of thing going on, I also detected a hint of sassy black chick. which really speaks volumes as to how well Samuel Jackson encapsulated that, because we all know he's a sassy black chick.
Mm-hmm.
And then commitment to character, I'll give you another point, so that brings you up to 7. Ryan, all right, it is your turn. Up.
Where's the horse and the rider? Where is the horn that was blowing? They have passed like rain on the mountain, like wind in the meadow. These days have gone down in the west, behind the hills into shadow. How did it come to this, huh?
As soon as you started, I was delighted because that is just something you just would not expect Joe Pesci to ever say. So I'm going to give you 3 points for selection, plus 2 points because you... You had a pretty decent accent going on there. I liked it. And then I forget what the other thing was, but it's irrelevant because you win. 9 points over Steven's 7.5 and Michael's 7.
More importantly, I did not lose this cycle.
Yeah, round of applause. Okay. So, Ryan, what would you like to pick?
I would like another sci-fi pick.
Okay.
If that's okay with you guys.
I'm always down for
like
always.
Sci-fi channel original.
I'm down to Phi. I'm always down to Phi.
It's definitely not a Sci-Fi Channel original.
So it's not Sharktopus.
I think we can safely
assume. Wait, was that a Sci-Fi Channel original?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind, because that is my pick.
Yes!
No, not really.
But we've all seen it, of course.
Of course.
My pick for next week is Gattaca.
Gatling gun.
Gattaca.
Ooh, wait, no, I think I've... Can you... Wait, do, is it better if I don't know anything?
Yeah, sure.
Because I've heard this one before. I've heard of this one.
Okay.
Yes.
Have any of you seen it?
I have not.
I have not.
Ooh.
All right.
A whole three-person de-rocking next week.
I guess it's sci-fi. I guess you know that. That's all I'm going to say.
Spoilers. I'm cool with that.
Grounded sci-fi, though. It's not Sunshine sci-fi.
It's, okay.
It's a more grounded story. So, yeah. Write us in next week at fuarock@gmail.com or tweet us at fuarockpodcast. Check out Gattaca, guys. It is, spoiler alert, it's a good movie.
I didn't want to know that, so thanks for spoiling it.
So yeah, that will be 1 week from today. The Gattaca podcast.
The Gattaca comes.
The Gattaca podcast and all Gattaca podcasts.
Can we watch Battlestar Gattaca?
Battlestar Spaghattaca.
Battlestar Gattaca.
That's what I am going to accidentally watch. Just a bunch of Battlestar Galactica.
I really hope you find a way to watch Battlestar Gattaca.
I want to watch Battlestar Gattaca. You know what I mean.
Mike Burb.
Mike Burb.
Stars in
Battlestar Gattaca.
It's like the narrator for all the film trailers suddenly comes down with Porky Pig syndrome.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
But in a world where
Battlestar Galactica.
All right, Steven, how's your YouTube channel these days?
It's good. We're getting back into production now that I've got my hand back. So shooting a couple skits this weekend and getting back in the swing of things. And
hey, I'm doing that.
Yes, James is in one. Got a couple other people in one. Too, and then if y'all are free, I have one that'll star you two, Ryan and Michael, the week after.
Oh, actually, I thought you meant the band, James.
You two. I got a video that'll star you two. I was like, hey, you want to be on a YouTube viral channel? And they were like, yeah, whatever.
I don't work with you two. Bono's a jerk.
But
he punched me in a dream one time.
Oh yeah,
he's a
he's a flounder.
He's a full-on rapist.
He's a girl addict.
He did punch Ryan in a dream though.
He served on the Battle Galactical.
Radical.
I need to get my own YouTube channel to promote.
Your
since everyone seems to be getting one these days.
I'm starting one.
Well, it did take me like a year before I got
You probably already have one if you have a Gmail.
I do actually. I have a couple actually.
What's new on that?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I liked a couple videos and watched a couple videos.
I haven't posted anything on it in a couple of years now. So.
YouTube, man.
Sorry, subscribers.
All 10,000 subscribers.
I know how much you were looking forward to it.
It'll be amazing.
Then I just drop off the face.
The Ryan specific fan base from this podcast, the Ryan Rangers.
It's me. I'm a Ryan Ranger.
You only are that because you wanted to be a Ranger of some sort.
It's Morphin time. Dumb. Ryan Evans.
All right, that's going to do it. Let's go around the table for one last roll call.
I'm James McDoodles.
Let's see if I get a Steven. Steuben the Burbs Suburban Zarita.
Nice.
Excellent work.
Nice.
I'm Mike Bourbon. I like Mike Bourbon, actually.
And I'm Ryan Evans. Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
From Under a Rock.
Wow, I almost messed that up. I did mess that up.
You absolutely did.
Yeah. I was like, saved, not really.
Don't worry, James. I'll cut it out.
I'm still in the...
do it again.
Oh, okay.
Thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
Steven with the contribution this week. Look at that. Clapping some quarter notes.
For some reason, that beat there had me thinking of like a Bollywood movie.
Battlestar Galactica. It's radical. Killing all the aliens with their sabbaticals, going on sabbatical, taking a leave of absence.
Nope.
It's all factual. All the times where you guys aren't keeping
it's actual. Factual.
My name is Michael, and I'm here to say cut it. I want to rhyme it. In a far way.
You took away points from me last time when I did that, Michael.
I know, but I that was the challenge. And this time I'm also eating.
This is life.
I've also eaten this a is half life's turkey challenge. Breast.
Can I have some of that turkey breast?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Sharing is caring.